Hi!
Hey!
Hello!
And welcome to Yap and Yahweh.
We're your hosts,
Rose Waldrop
and Megan McCrary.
Grab some coffee
or some tea
and join us as we navigate this wild roller coaster of life through the lens of Christianity. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Yap and Yahweh. We are so excited to have you guys tuning in and listening to us. Before we get into this week's topic, I'm going to have Rose explain to you something fun we're going to do.
Thanks, guys, for joining us. We're super excited that you're here. So we thought it'd be kind of cool at the beginning of every podcast episode, since we're both writers and we love words, to just share a fun or unique word that we found throughout the week. So, Megan, why don't you start us off and tell us, what did you find for this week?
This week, I found the word ficca.
Ficca. Okay, I'm deeply intrigued at this point. You got to tell me more.
Honestly, I hope I'm pronouncing it right, but it is a noun, and it's described as a moment to slow down and appreciate the little things in life. It's a Swedish concept that makes it essential to take time to stop and socialize. It's like a Swedish custom, and it's something they prioritize and do, and I loved it because I want to ficka.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. That's such a sweet concept. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, it's great. I'm going to incorporate that into my life, and I think you should too, and our listeners should also do that as well.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what's your word laid on me?
Yeah, girl. Okay, so drum roll. The word that I found this week is sonder, and that is a noun, and it's spelled S-O-N-D-E-R. So I'm going to read the Oxford Dictionary definition because I feel like they just encapsulate it perfectly. So sonder, it's the realization that each random passerby is living a life as vivid and complex as your own, populated with their own ambitions, friends, routines, worries, and inherited craziness, an epic story that continues invisibly around you like an anthill sprawling deep underground, with elaborate passageways to thousands of other lives that you'll never know existed, in which you might only appear once, as an extra sipping coffee in the background, as a blur of traffic passing on the highway, as a lighted window at dusk. So essentially, sonder means everyone has a story. Isn't that beautiful?
You really hit our heartstrings so early on into the podcast.
Well, you did too.
Okay, but I feel like our words kind of go like hand in hand. Like everyone's experiencing their own little life and you have to slow down and stop and appreciate the little things.
Yeah. Oh,
I love them.
That's perfect. It's perfect. I think it's a great segue into our topic today, which how about you start us off, girl, and tell us what we're going to be discussing here.
So this week's topic is about how to enter the new year when our seasons haven't changed.
That's a good topic. I feel like we chose one that there's a lot we could talk about. And I think it's very applicable as we come to the end of 2024, when a lot of people have had really hard years. And I feel like a flip of the calendar page can't just change everything.
Right.
So I guess the question is that we're going to unpack today is how do we carry ourselves into 2025 when life still feels difficult? I think one of the first key points I want to make, and I want to hear your thoughts on this too, Megan, is continuing to look to Jesus. As I was sitting there, I was just overwhelmed just by the thought of, okay, you know, if we look at our circumstances, we're just going to drown in our despair. But if we look to Jesus, we'll be filled with hope. And I was reading in my Bible there, as I was thinking about this, Psalm 121, and the first verse, I just love it. I just have to read it. I wrote it down. I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And I just love how the psalmist was looking to the Lord and just how this easy concept of what we look at, we become, is so key as we transition into a new year to just reset our hearts and minds to continue to look to him and not the circumstances that are weighing heavy in our lives.
Right. No, I think that's a great point. I was actually listening to a song on the way home the other day, and the song is called Make Room. And I feel like when we enter the new year, a lot of people have a list of a whole bunch of stuff they want to do and things they want to achieve and things they desire. But oftentimes, if Jesus is not on the top of that list, then hitting all those other desires isn't going to matter at the end of the day. So I feel like we forget to make room for Jesus or to look at Jesus in every circumstance. And in James 4:8, it says to draw near to God and he will draw near to you.
I absolutely love that verse in James. I think that's really applicable here. And I agree. The more we make room for him, the more our lives will be saturated with him. And I think abiding is a key concept too. I don't know what your thoughts are, but I feel like that word has come to mind a lot as I've thought about entering 2025. The other thing that I kind of wanted to like transition into, and I feel like it really applies to abiding, is this our prayer life. And just, I had it written down in my notebook here, praying all the more expectantly for a breakthrough in 2025. And I think understanding that God hears us, even in the seasons when he seems to have gone quiet, and that staying in communication with him is like the heartbeat of our soul. Like prayer is the heartbeat of our soul. And if we're not praying, our pastor said this last year in a message, I think he quoted some theologian, that if we're not praying, we're confident that we can do life on our own. And entering 2025 with circumstances that are heavy, more than ever, we need God and we need to be in communication with him.
Yes, I completely agree. I think what we believe about God is the most important belief that we have. And in order to see that belief, that is played out throughout our prayer lives. So prayer is so, so important to especially draw near to God and bring our struggles to him. But not only that, it also reminds us to make room for him. So one thing that we can do to make room for him is by setting aside specific time to pray and spend with the Lord.
Yes, I love that. And I think you're right. We got to set aside specific time. And when you were talking about, I love the concept of just how our belief about God translates into our prayer life. Like if we're not praying, then that often reflects our heart posture that we believe we can do life on our own. And just how, like you said, if God is our best friend, we should be talking to him all the time. Like we talk, like, for example, like our friendship, you know, we talk a lot and that's how we stay in communication. And if I didn't talk to you, I mean, what would that say about our relationship? So I love that analogy that you drew there. That was really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And God's just a friend. You know, he wants us to learn more about him just as he wants to do the same for us. And one of the best ways we can do that is to sit with him in his word, mm-hmm. to learn more about his heart and through prayer as well.
Yeah, I actually wrote down Psalm 77, verse 1, because I thought it went along and tied in beautifully. It was just the psalmist saying, I cry aloud to God, and he will hear me. And I underlined, he will hear me, because I love how the psalmist knows that his father hears him, and how like in these heavy seasons that we're walking through and going into 2025, knowing that when we talk to God, he does hear us.
He does hear us, and there are even times, and I think it is somewhere in Psalms, I don't know the specific verse, but that even when we groan, he knows, you know, what we're feeling and what we're mourning.
Yes.
We don't have to always specifically say that to God. He knows what we're feeling. He knows what we're experiencing. And I think one of the really big things, too, is God's perspective is not our perspective.
Yes. Amen. Girl, actually, that's literally in my notes where I was headed. So I think it's great that we're headed in the same direction here, because I thought of Job. I don't know if this came to mind, but how literally Job was asking God, why over and over, like, why is this happening? And how at the end, God doesn't answer the why question. Instead, he responds with just how high his ways are above Job's way. And I wrote down, instead of asking God why don't we ask him what? Like, what do you want to teach us through mm-hmm. this?
No, I think that's actually a really good thing to think about, Rose, because when we're asking what, that is reframing our brain to think about God's perspective. So I think if we are looking at everything from God's perspective, everything will lead us back to becoming more like Jesus. That is the goal as Christians, is to be more like Jesus. And that happens throughout our sufferings, in our joys, in our sadness. And so I think if we look at all of our years and our months and our season from our perspective, oftentimes we will look at all of our negative emotions and our suffering will just be heightened and we won't be able to focus on God's perspective, which is making us more like Jesus. And I think from his perspective, life is just so much sweeter because he is always shaping us to be more like his son. And Isaiah 55:8-9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts."
That's beautiful. That's always been one of my favorite verses. And I love everything you said, Megan. I think super applicable. And there's a couple things I wanted to touch on that you said, because I think they're just so great. When you said at the beginning, like, if we can see it from God's perspective, like by reframing and asking what, just understanding that, like, God doesn't actually have a calendar year. Like, he's not up in heaven, like, 2025. Okay, we're switching over. Like, I mean, maybe he does. I don't know. But I know heaven time is different than earth time. And to know that, like, God actually sees our life as a whole. So to him, it's not a flip of a calendar year. It's just another day in our lives. And I think that's actually really comforting to know, because I think there's so much emphasis in our culture on starting over in a new year and all that stuff. And I love just the analogy that you said of just stepping back and seeing it from his perspective and how much sweeter that is. In that Isaiah verse, I feel like that also reminds me of Job and just how at the end, God was like, yeah, my ways are higher than your ways. And when you realize that, it brings you peace because we aren't in control of our lives. And going into 2025, realizing that, hey, you know what? Life is difficult right now, acknowledging that. But God is in control and I can have peace in the midst of that.
Right. I agree. If I've looked back at my year of 2024, I have endured some suffering. And if I look at it from my perspective, well, then it definitely was not my year. But God has really been posturing my heart and humbling me to view everything that I've experienced this year from his perspective. And man, did 2024 make me more like Jesus, and I can't express my gratitude for that.
Yeah, I feel that. I'm so glad you shared that, being open and honest, because I think 2024 for the both of us and for a lot of our listeners has been really difficult. I mean, we all face different things. We're all human. None of us can escape suffering. It's there. You know, I've walked alongside people this year that have had mental illnesses, physical illnesses, loss, grief, cancer, you name it. And you just can't avoid it. We live in a broken world. And it's inevitable that 2025 is going to hold broken things because that's just how it is. And so I think if we can step in with a renewed mindset focused on Christ that is rooted in him, we're going to have peace amidst that. And I wrote down these words because I really love them. And I feel like it ties in here as well, that we can grieve hopefully, because as Christians, Tim Challis put it, the reason we have hope is that we grieve temporarily. We grieve genuinely, but we hope fully because we grieve temporarily. And I just love that we grieve hopefully in the midst of all of our sorrows, because we know that our time here on earth is just so short and we have that hope of heaven. And 1 Thessalonians 4:13 said at the end of the verse, "Do not grieve as others who have no hope." So as Christians, we have a hope in the midst of our sorrows. And I wrote down just a couple lines from O Holy Night because I just loved it. And as we have exited the Christmas season, I feel like it just really reflected on that. And it was this: "O Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn." And just that thrill of hope, I underline that, because we have hope. Jesus came. Christmas, we just celebrated that, and that is our hope. And we can look in 2025 to Jesus because he is our hope.
I totally agree. I love that you brought that song into this, because I think every year we sing it and I don't know if we fully read the words and allow them to resonate within us. And that was just reminding me that hope and joy and all these things Jesus give us sustains. And I actually know a friend that lost a friend in a car accident on the 21st, and it just reminds me that when January 1st, 2025 rolls around, this season they're experiencing is not going to change just because a new year is here. They are still going to be suffering the loss, but because they have Jesus and because they have hope, their season of suffering and grieving is only momentary in the light of eternity.
That's so true. Their season of suffering isn't going to end on January 1st, 2025. They're going to have to carry the weight of that for probably a long time. And I grieve with them. But as believers, they have that hope in Jesus. And that right there, that's everything.
My heart also grieves for them. But we have to remember that God also grieves these losses as well. And I do love that they'll be able to go through the next year with Jesus by their side because he gives us that hope. But I think another thing that we really need to recognize whenever we get into the new year is I think oftentimes we start idolizing New Year's resolutions.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. I think that's a big thing. I feel like it's just bombarded everywhere. Like social media, we see like new fitness trends, new diets, all these things like start over, do this, do that. I mean, yeah. How does that make you feel?
I think it is a good thing to want to be a better version of yourself. But I think that all starts with Jesus. And as Christians, I don't know how many conversations I've had with people where we're talking about New Year's resolutions and God is the focus. I feel like I hear a lot of like, well, I'm going to do this and I'm going to start this and this is how the year is going to begin. If we're not being intentional about making room for God and putting that as the stepping stone to the new versions of ourselves that we want to be, then I don't think it matters if we have, you know, a nice toned body because we had this great diet and this great workout routine, or we have all these hobbies that we finally accomplished, or we finally got that career or that relationship. At the end of the day, all these things that we're idolizing as New Year resolutions, if God is not at the top of that, if he is not the priority, then none of that matters.
100%. Does this mean I can go throw out all the kale in my fridge that I told myself I was going to try and eat in 2025 to be a healthier version of myself?
Yeah, toss it out.
Okay, I'm going to toss it out. No, but in all, realisticness, I love that you said that because Jesus has to be the foundation of our life going into 2025, going into every year, just our life in general. If Jesus isn't the foundation, we are setting ourselves up for disappointment. We're setting ourselves up for despair.
Yeah, we are. I'm personally in a season right now of apathy. And it's something I'm really struggling with because I'm a super emotional feelings kind of person. And I've been sitting with God in prayer. And I know that, you know, by the time 2025 rolls around and we get into the new year, my season is likely not going to change at the flip of a coin. I believe that God can change that, but I know that God is using me and teaching me things right now. So my New Year's resolution is to continue to ask myself the question, what does God want to do with me in the season that I'm in? And I'm going to make him the focus of my year because I want to see my year from God's perspective.
I love your New Year's resolution, Megan. I think it's great. It is very similar to mine, which involves abiding more in the word and spending more time with God. Because like you said, that really is key. And if we can see our life and we can see our seasons that we're walking through from the perspective of God, it is going to change everything.
So if there's anything you can take away from this podcast today, it's that a new year doesn't equal new season. New year can often mean same season, and that is okay because with God's perspective, life will be sweeter. It is always our moment. It is always our year and our season because we have Jesus, and he is walking directly beside us through every single season we experience, whether that's a high season or a low season.
Praise God that he walks with us through all of the seasons. I hope you guys have a great New Year's holiday. And we would love to hear from you. If you have any prayer requests or you want to share your New Year's resolutions, email us at yapandyahweh@gmail.com.
Once again, we are so happy you're here and would love for you to stick around and tune into our next episode. We've got hearts on fire for Jesus and hope through our yapping, we'll get the opportunity to ignite your heart too. Follow us on our socials at Yap and Yahweh.